again here on a Wednesday night for a midweek message. Before I get into my sort of what I want to talk about this evening, I just kind of want to give everybody the rundown on what's been going on. So, as you know, if you were trying to catch us, our broadcast on Sunday, you know that I got about 24 minutes into it, and it shut down. It just completely, I lost completely. I live in a rural area, and so I don't have the high-speed internet like Comcast or Charter or broadband that a lot of you might have. It's just not an option where I live. So I'm using an internet system that works off a radio tower and frequencies. So I called my provider on Monday, and three things have happened since then that I want to kind of update everybody on. First, they have repositioned my antenna. So my antenna is now facing a tower that is right behind my house, not one that's about a mile and a half and away through some trees, obstructing the antenna on my house from the one that is in my neighbor's backyard. So they have upgraded me to the most up-to-date antenna that I can get with this system. And then the third thing that they've done is they've I've made them verify. We ran three or four speed checks to make sure that I was getting the uploads and download speeds that I was paying for and that I needed. So I've also stepped down the pixels on this broadcast. I was trying to broadcast in 720p HD, and I've stepped it down to 480p. So the picture quality might not be quite as good, but I think it's going to be more of stable and whole. I can't guarantee anything. This is kind of a test for me and to kind of see where things are going to go moving forward. If I can't get this to work with any kind of consistency, I have two options. Option one would be to take this equipment back to the church and broadcast myself from the church on a Sunday morning. Another option would be to pre-record out everything and just upload and make it available on Sunday at the appropriate times. I'd rather go live if I can. I like live better. I think it gives people more of a feeling of interaction. They get to see who else is on there. They can chat back and forth. They can tell me what a heretic I am when they don't like something that I say, or anything along those lines. So last Wednesday when we did a midweek message, I titled it, Is COVID-19 the Beginning of Sorrows? And we looked at a bunch of stuff out of Matthew chapter 24 about that. And we basically went through a good chunk of Matthew chapter 24. We looked at how in that passage the apostles ask Christ three things. If you look at verse 3, Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, it says, And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So there's really three things in that verse that they want to know about. They want to know, when shall these things be? Now, that is a reference in the context, if you go back up to verse 2, to the destruction of Jerusalem. And it says, And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another which shall not be cast down. So the first thing they want to know about in verse 3 is the destruction of the temple. The second thing is the sign of thy coming, then of the end of the world. And then if you go to verse 8, verse 8 mentions, and it says, All these things are the beginning of sorrows. The things that he's talking about are in the preceding verses. Verse 5, many shall come in my name, okay? Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And so a question that I got, and I've seen a lot of things shared on social media and so forth talking about COVID-19 being the beginning of sorrows. And so we were looking at that last time from sort of a doctrinal standpoint. Is that the case? I don't believe that it's the case. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. The nation against nation, the wars and rumors of wars, the famines, the pestilence, the earthquakes in diverse places, okay? And Christ says all these things are the beginning of how those of you that have followed our ministry, Grace Life Bible Church, with any regularity, you know that we are dispensational. You know that we rightly divide the word of truth, that we recognize Paul as our apostle for the current dispensation of grace. And so you know that in my theology, in my thinking, I draw a distinction between prophecy and mystery, between that which was spoken since the world began and that which was kept secret since the world began. What Christ is talking about here is the fulfillment of the prophetic program that God made known to and through the nation of Israel through the prophets, which have been since the world began. It talks about that in Luke chapter 1, and Peter talks about that again in Acts chapter 3. So I don't believe that anything going on right now with COVID-19 is the beginning of sorrows. And then we also look sort of at an overview of this chapter, and we saw that in verse 15, Christ takes them to the middle of the 70th week, to the midst of the week, when he brings up the issue of the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel. He says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken, I'm in verse 15, by the way, and when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let them understand, let them which be in Judea flee. We went over this in detail. My point in reviewing this is that Christ talks about the beginning of sorrows. He talks about the midst of the week, the 70th week, the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, the abomination of desolation. Last week we went to Daniel 9, and I showed you that that happens in the middle, or about 3.5 years into the last 7-year time period of the 70th week. Okay, and then if you go to same chapter, if you go out to verse 27, he then takes them. He tells them what's going to happen immediately after the tribulation of those days. Verse 27. And as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever gather, here's verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, so the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Okay? Now remember what they asked him. Go back to verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? That's the destruction of Jerusalem. We'll get to that in a minute. And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Well, he just told them. There's going to be cosmic disturbance in the moon, sun, stars, etc. And there's going to appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man. And it's going to happen immediately after the tribulation of those days. So the Lord Jesus Christ is very clear in this context about what's going on and about what they can expect if they're just sort of paying attention. And he's also very direct in the way that they answer, in the way that he answers their questions. So with all that in mind, I saw a story yesterday. A story was released Tuesday, April 7, 2020, and this was released on Baptist Press. And the title of the story is Vast Majority of Pastors See Signs of End Times in Current Events. So this is a survey that was conducted. This survey was conducted by a Nashville-based Lifeway Research. And what they did is they surveyed a bunch of pastors to try to get their understanding of eschatology and of the end times and what's going on. Now, this survey was actually conducted in January of this year, January 2020, before all the COVID-19 stuff broke out. But there's some interesting things here that I want to share with you in light of what we went over last Wednesday night and what I just mentioned in the review. It says, almost 9 in 10 pastors see at least some current events matching those Jesus said would occur shortly before his return to earth. According to a new survey focused on Christian eschatology, or the study of the end times. So of the pastors that are surveyed, 9 out of 10 of them are saying that they see things happening in current events that they think are matching what will happen on the earth shortly before the return of Christ, okay? And this was before COVID-19. So you can only imagine probably what would happen if this same survey were given today, what these numbers might look like, okay? Reading on a little further here, it says that they quote somebody, and it says, while Christians prepare to celebrate Jesus' resurrection, many pastors believe they see signs of his return may be close, said Scott McConnell, executive director of Lifeway Research. These sentiments were expressed in January of a global pandemic became known. In Matthew 24, that's the passage that we've been looking at, Jesus' disciples asked him about signs of his coming, and he responded by speaking of birth pains that would precede his return. Now, that's what the King James Bible calls the beginning of sorrows in Matthew chapter 24, verse 8. Matthew chapter 24, verse 8. Then the story goes on to say, Darrell Bach, New Testament Studies professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, noted that the Bible has several lists of potential signs of Jesus' return, like the Olivet Discourse passages in Matthew 24 and 25, Mark 16, and Luke 21, and some include concepts of global sickness. So we already saw that in Matthew 24, okay? Numerous biblical texts speak of disturbances in the creation that disorient and trouble people, said Bach. These disturbances have quite a range, with earthquakes and wars being the most common. However, Jesus mentions plagues or pestilence explicitly in Luke 21. According to Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, the idea of birth pains is not unique to the New Testament or evangelicals. He said ultra-Orthodox Jews also believe that these types of signs are indicators of the Messiah's coming. So this goes on. It's quite long, but a couple points of interest here. They say that at least 3 in 4 pastors agree that Jesus was referring to current events, including the rise of false prophets or false teachings. 83% said that is happening now, currently. The love of many believers growing cold. They thought 81% thought that was happening now. Traditional morals becoming less accepted, 79%. Wars and national conflicts, 78%. Earthquakes and natural disasters, 76%. And people abandoning their Christian faith, 75%. Clear majorities also see famines, 75%, anti-Semitism, 63%, as signs of Jesus' return. Around 1 in 10 pastors, 11%, say they don't consider any of these part of the birth pangs which Jesus was referring to. Now, I would have to say that for me as a dispensationalist, I don't see the things going on right now as a person who believes we're living in the dispensation of grace that was a mystery, that was kept secret since the world began, that was not made known, spoken about, or revealed in the prophetic scriptures, that the Lord Jesus Christ is not talking about during the Olivet Discourse. I don't see the different things that are happening as the fulfillment of any of these things related to the beginning of sorrows, etc. But I just share that with you to give you some context about what a lot of people are thinking about these days in light of everything that is going on. Now, with that in mind, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about the question about Jerusalem, okay? So go back with me to Matthew 24, specifically the temple and Jerusalem. Now hold your hand in Matthew 24 and also go back and grab with me Daniel 9 quick. Hold your hand in Matthew 24 and go back and grab with me Daniel chapter 9. I just want to point something out. I've mentioned this before, but it's important to kind of keep this in your frame of reference. The prophecy of the 70 weeks are determined upon thy holy people, that would be the nation of Israel, and upon thy holy city, specifically the city of Jerusalem. Look with me at Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Okay? Now come back with me to Matthew 24. So the 70 weeks pertain to the nation of Israel and Jerusalem. Okay? Now the temple is obviously in Jerusalem. And so the temple does factor into prophetic events. Okay? Matthew 24, verse 2. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Actually, we should probably read verse 1 first. Sorry about that. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. So they're looking at the temple, okay? And Jesus said unto them, see ye not these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So in the context of Matthew 24, they're clearly talking about the temple. The apostles ask about it. They look at it. Christ says these stones are going to be thrown down. And then in verse 3, And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him, saying, privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? So they want to know, part of what they want to know is, when is the temple going to be destroyed? Now, it's important that when we study our Bible, that we let the Bible interpret itself, that we employ the comparative principle of Scripture and let Scripture interpret Scripture and help us to gain clarity, okay? You don't need and should not, as your first reaction, run to the commentaries and run to what other men might have to say. You need to find a verse that will help give clarity on the verse that you are struggling with or that you have a question on. Now come with me over to, put something in Matthew 24 and come with me over to Luke 19. Come with me over to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Now, Brother Dave Reed and I have been talking about a few of these items, okay, recently. I know there's quite a few of you that also enjoy Brother Reed's ministry. We've been discussing this and exchanging some emails and so forth, and I want to share a few things as the fruit of those conversations. Luke 19, Jesus weeps over Jerusalem, verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least, in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Now watch carefully, verse 43. For the day shall come upon thee, talking about the city of Jerusalem, for the day shall come upon thee that thy enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Now remember that the prophecy in the 70th of the 70th week is determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Jesus is saying here that there's going to come a time where there's going to be the city of Jerusalem is going to be compassed about, they're going to be surrounded on every side, and the city is going to be laid even with the ground. Now, what other structure is in the city that no stone is going to be left upon another? Comparing verse with verse, you know the temple is in the city of Jerusalem, okay? Come with me over to Luke chapter 21. Come over to Luke chapter 21. And this is Luke's account of the Olivet Discourse, Luke chapter 21. Look with me at verse 20. It says, And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Interesting. So he just in chapter 19 talked about how the city is going to be compassed about, and how it's going to be laid even with the ground, no stone left upon another, right? Now he says in verse 20, chapter 21, verse 20, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Talking about the desolation of Jerusalem, right? Now look at verse 21. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things are written may be fulfilled. Now you got to compare that. Go back with me now to Matthew 24. Okay. So, whoops, lost my spot. So, in Luke 21, we hear about the desolation of Jerusalem, the armies being compassed about, and we know that when they see this, then they're to flee to the mountains. Okay. Now compare that with Matthew 24, verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Let him that which is in Judea flee into the mountains. Okay, well, when is Jerusalem going to be compassed about with armies and be laid desolate? It has to be, comparing verse with verse, somewhere around the middle of the tribulation period, the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, and is related to the abomination of desolation that happens in the midst of the week. Okay? So, by comparing Luke chapter 21, verses 20 and 21, with Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 and 16, which we just did, it's evident that the compassing of Jerusalem in Luke chapter 21, verse 20, is the same time as when the abomination of desolation is set up. They are comparative. There's a series of events that are happening right at that time in the middle of the week. Okay? Thus, the not leaving one stone upon another of Luke chapter 19, verse 44, is shortly after the time that the abomination of desolation is set up. So there's a prophetic prediction of the destruction of the city and the temple. Okay? Therefore, if we go back, we can see pretty clearly, I think, that the destruction of the temple in 70 AD by the fulfillment of these statements by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 24, in Luke 19, in Luke 21, because if they were, you would have prophecy being fulfilled during the time period of the mystery. In fact, by 70 AD, Paul has already written all of his epistles, okay? Even those in the dispensational community that want that maintain the position that the church, the body of Christ, the church of this dispensation didn't start until after the close of the book of Acts, even they would say, at least as far as my understanding of it is, and if I'm wrong, I'm sure somebody out there would correct me, but even they would say that that before 70 AD, the dispensation of grace and the mystery has been fully made known, revealed, and disclosed, okay? So I think there's some interesting things for us to think about there, okay? The other thing to think about, go back to Luke 21. The other interesting thing to think about is, if you go back to Luke 21, is some things regarding this issue of the times of the Gentiles, okay? Go with me to Luke 21, Luke 21, verse 24. So we already read verse 20 and verse 21, okay? We read verse 22 about the days of vengeance. Verse 23, but woe unto them that are... people. So again, that is the same thing Matthew 24 is talking about, where they see the abomination of desolation in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, and they're told to flee into the mountains, and they're to pray that it be not in winter nor on the Sabbath, etc., etc., right? Woe unto them that are with child, and then they give suck in those days, etc. He talks about in Matthew chapter 24, right? Well, Luke's got parallel statements to that. Now, verse 24, Luke 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. It's very interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about these things in the future tense. Okay? He's saying that the times of the Gentiles specifically that he's talking about here are in the future. Notice the verse. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until. So how long? So they're going to be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be. Okay, but there's a comparison. Hold your hand there and come with me over to Revelation chapter 11. Come over with me to Revelation chapter 11. Read, and there was stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Now look at verse 2. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given, so it's talking about the temple, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Interesting. How long is 42 months? 42 months is 3.5 years. Okay? When is the Cid, based upon all the cross-referencing that we've done in this time together, this half-hour time together so far, that happens in the middle of the 70th week? Well, in the middle of the 70th week, who is Jerusalem is going to be trotted down to the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, and Revelation 11, verse 2 tells you how long that's going to be. That's going to be for 42 months or 3.5 years, okay? So here is my overall point. When you let the prophetic scripture be the prophetic scripture, and you interpret it literally, and you don't try to insert the body of Christ, you don't try to insert the church of the current dispensation into the prophetic scripture, the prophetic scriptures are perfectly capable of laying themselves out for you quite clearly if you read the Bible literally and you compare verse with verse, if you compare scripture with scripture. Okay? Now, come with me, if you would. I want to end here. Come with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is the last epistle that Paul wrote. And we know that there are what is called the last days of prophecy, the last days of the prophetic program, okay? But there's also, Paul also mentioned some things that are going to characterize the last days of the dispensation of grace. And I want you to notice here, this is the last stuff that Paul writes before he dies, okay, 2 Timothy. And I want you to notice the kinds of things that he says are going to be characteristic of this time period, okay, the last days of the current dispensation. Notice what he says. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. So when Paul says the last days here, he's not talking about the prophecy of the 70 weeks, the last days of Israel's prophetic time period. He's referring to the last days of the church of this dispensation. Okay, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. So I have a question. Has there ever been a period in the last 2,000 years of human history during the church age, during the dispensation of grace, that doesn't describe men, lost men? I think it does, right? It says traitor, verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Were all of these things true for the last 2,000 years? Is this the way the Gentiles have been functioning, operating, thinking? When the Gentiles have not had their counterfeit religions? No, it's always been that way. At any time during the history of the dispensation of grace. We even know from Paul's epistles that men were already turning away from Paul before Paul was even dead, before he even written all of his epistles. Okay? We know these things from the Bible. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, that describes where we are. Okay? When we have surveys of pastors that are supposed to be experts in teaching the scriptures, and 9 out of 10 of them see the fulfillment of, that's a problem, okay? Because they don't understand the issue of rightly dividing the word of truth and about dispensational Bible study, and in fact, many of them might even ridicule dispensationalism. Going a step further, Daryl Bach, who is argued in here, he is a progressive dispensationalist, okay? But he still potentially sees, things happening right now that are in line with Matthew chapter 24, Luke chapter 21, the passage in Mark, okay? Mark, I believe it's, what is it in Mark? It's Mark, Mark 13, okay? And so there's great confusion over these things. If the dispensation of grace ends with the catching away of the body of Christ, no prophetic event needs to happen before that could occur. So when you read what Paul says about the last days of the dispensation, I've understood these to be trends. Trends in the behavior of humanity that seem to have been true at any point during the dispensation of grace. And we should not be looking at specific things that are happening in the economy, the world itself, okay, as the specific fulfillment of anything that was said by the Lord in Matthew 24. I hope that makes sense to you. It seems like we've had a fairly successful stream. I did get a few warnings on my little meter here that we had encountered some slowness here and there, but we did not lose connection. So my plan moving forward is to try to continue to stream here from my house. I've also corrected a couple problems with my camera as far as making sure that I'm recording a backup. So if the person tuned in today, I appreciate you doing that. Okay, a couple reminders. For those of you that are from Grace Life Bible Church, a couple reminders for you would be the following. If you want to participate in the Friday night, in the Living the Transformed Life Friday night fellowship Zoom call, I need you to give me your active, your current active email by noon on Friday. And also, if you want to participate in the open portion of the board meeting on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, I also need to get your email because that meeting will also be on Zoom. So if you have any questions, you can obviously leave them in the comments or write me, email me, brian@justgraceit.com, or send me a private message on Facebook. I've enjoyed our time together in the scriptures with you this evening. Hopefully you have too. Let's just close here in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're grateful for your word and for the message and ministry of the Apostle Paul, and for the issue of rightly dividing the word of truth. Dispensational Bible study that helps us to understand and make sense of your word. We pray that this time we spent together tonight would be edifying and encouraging. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I'll see you back live on Sunday morning at